Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 6, beginning at the 27th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, our Lord Jesus said today's lesson, "You will be sons of the Most High, sons and daughters of the Most High, for the Lord is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." How do you know that to be true? Well, one, you look in the mirror, and two, you look at the cross. When you look at the cross, you're reminded of John 3:16. Everybody knows it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know it because it's probably the best known verse in the Bible. And that's a good thing, because you're not going to find a better one. One that in such a tiny space fits all of our faith, fits all of our Christian faith, fits all of the Lord's work to get you where you needed to be. A verse that reminds you that the Lord Jesus came into the world to live righteously for you, to die sacrificially for you, so that you could be pardoned, so that you could be washed clean, you could be forgiven, you could be righteous, you could be saved, and you could have, on top of it all, everlasting life. Best known verse in the Bible. John 3:16. And also the biggest mystery in the Bible. John 3:16. God so loved the world. And the mystery is what? Why would he do that? Why would the Lord love the world? I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, maybe the mystery stems from the fact that we often confuse love with like. God so liked the world. But is it the same thing? Now, if you turn to and restrict yourself to the first couple pages of the Bible, you can say very strongly, God so liked the world. Because it says there very clearly, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was what? It was good. Okay, so God so liked the world. But after the fall of man, everything changes. Psalm 14, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, any who seek after God. And when the good Lord looks down on the children of man, what does he see? Well, he looks down and he says, you know what? I see these terrorist bombings. Well done. Good job. Way to get things accomplished. The Lord looks down and sees what? He sees Ukraine, almost a million casualties, right? How wonderful. You're doing a great job down there, folks. The good Lord looks at Gaza. He says, oh my word, look at how powerful you are. You blasted it to smithereens. Isn't that good? The good Lord looks down in Sudan. He says, look at all those people starving. Way to run things. What a good job you've done. And that's the big things. How about the little ones, although not little in God's eyes? How about all the daily jealousy, or daily revenge, or daily bitterness, or daily malice, or daily ingratitude, or daily hatred? How about the rejection of the Lord that goes on all the time, the turning away from the Lord that goes on all the time? Go all the way back in human history and you'll find it. Genesis chapter 6, all the way back there. Now, it says, the earth was corrupt in God's sight. His sight, he was looking down. And the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord saw, he was looking down, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Those words could have been written yesterday. God so liked the world? God so liked the world? Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like it at all. Which is why when we hear John 3:16, you recognize, or maybe you just get a hint, that something different is going on there. We don't have a language for it because it's on a different sort of wavelength. It comes from a different sort of world. God so loved the world, this one, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Where did that come from? Well, maybe we can ask a question. Do you like the world? Do you so like the world? Well, you think about it for a moment. You say, well, I guess I like my family sometimes. I like my friends on occasion. I like the people who have done me a good turn in life. And that's all good. It's all good if you have such things. But that and $3 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks before Almighty God. Because, as Jesus says, today's lesson, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Don't even the sinners do that? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Don't even the sinners do that? And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Anything special about that? Nothing special at all. It's just human thinking. Nothing special at all. So, if that's just generic human thinking, let's push that off of the table and let's see what we got left. What is left? Jesus said, but in contrast to that, I say to those who hear, in other words, those who have ears to hear because the Holy Spirit is in their heart and he's given them faith, who are believers in the Lord, those who know the Lord, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. To the one who takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who begs from you. From one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now, in what I just read for you, there is not a word there, not a single word, not a single breath about liking the world. There's nothing there about liking the world, because if the good Lord himself doesn't like the world, what makes you think you're going to? Or that you can do it? There's not a word there about approving of the world or agreeing with the world or hanging around with the people of the world. Matter of fact, the Bible warns against it. You got to live in the world, but it also says, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. And there is not a word there about being a patsy for the unbelieving world and its designs and just going along with it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, pray that we may be delivered from the world, from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Not a word there about liking the world. Maybe because liking is neither here nor there. Liking doesn't really serve any lasting purpose. You've got to have something that's stronger, a stronger medicine. And so the Lord says, no, not like, love. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray. And in summary, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now that there is probably the second best known verse in the Bible. We have a name for it. What do we call it? The Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. And why is it called golden? Because it makes your life easy. No, you're dealing with the world. It doesn't make your life easy. Matter of fact, you may get backlash. There can be enemies and those who hate and those who curse you and who call down evil upon you and mistreat you and strike you and steal from you and try to take advantage of you. And you know what? The good Lord knows, because they've been doing that to him ever since he created man, or actually since the fall of man. People have been doing that. And when our Lord Jesus came into this world, what did they do to him? We confess it in our creed. We say he suffered, he was crucified, and he was buried. Of course, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. They did that to him when he came here. But what? He still came here. And Hebrews chapter 12 still holds true. We look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The Golden Rule. An interesting statement. It's called golden because it's the only way that something different ever happens on this earth. Book of Romans describes it. Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, where did St. Paul get those words from? He got them from today's gospel lesson, or the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in the book of Matthew. He got those words from our Lord Jesus, and our Lord Jesus knew that evil has been overcome at one time or another by love and by kindness, but evil has never been overcome by hatred and revenge. Besides, that's your Heavenly Father's way. It was his way with you. Can you say about yourself when you look in the mirror, God so liked me? God so liked me that he sent his son? Why did he send his son then if he liked you? No, God didn't so like me. He did what? He loved me. You see that every time you look in a mirror. You see that every time you look at a cross. And you know what? You are sons and daughters of the Most High. Why? Because he's kind to the ungrateful, and because he's kind to the evil. And so since that is your Heavenly Father's way, to be kind to the ungrateful and the evil among whom you also were, so then Jesus says, be merciful, even as your Heavenly Father is merciful. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.